Bibles this morning, please turn them to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16. I'd like to look at some timeless lessons here. And we have two men that are giving us these lessons, timeless lessons we want to look at today out of Luke chapter 16. When you find your place, would you stand to your feet as we read a portion out of God's holy, infallible, inspired word today. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. I take that to mean he had it made. He had it made. At least he thought he had it made. And by this world standards, I'm sure he was doing all right, you know, materially speaking and wealth and all that. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, that is the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Pastor, would you pray for us this morning? Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, speak to every heart. Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. You know, we can learn some lessons from these two fellows. A rich man who fared sumptuously every day compared to this beggar named Lazarus who was laid at the rich man's gate and he was full of sores. And, you know, we can learn a lesson, first of all, about death here. Both of them died. And we're all headed that way. Barring the come of the Lord, we're all going to face death as a universal enemy to all. And death is coming to you. Death is coming to me. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I think we need to think about death. In fact, it's one of the most real things I know of is death and dying. You know, it's about the last thing, though, that people really want to think about and ponder. But we need to think about it. You know, it happens to the saved. Lazarus was a saved man, but he still died. It happens to the lost. The rich man was lost, and he died. It happens to the poor. It happens to the rich. It happens to everybody in between. It happens to the young. It happens to the old. And so the statistics so far concerning death is one out of every one is going to die. I will say that as far as in the ancient past, we know of two fellows that they avoided death. Their names were Enoch and Elijah. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Some preacher said, well, Enoch was walking so close to God one day, and the Lord said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Let's just go in my house. Wouldn't that be something? Just going home with the Lord without dying. And then Elijah, what does the Bible say about him? He didn't die. He was just caught up in a fiery chariot, went straight to heaven in a fiery chariot. My. It's possible that these same two men will come back and die, though, if you read Revelation. In fact, I was reading the other day in one of the minor prophets about Elijah, and it indicated he was going to be one of those witnesses that end up being slain in the streets there in Jerusalem. But anyhow, that's another message altogether. But anyhow, death is an enemy to prepare for. How should you prepare for death? Buy life insurance? I used to sell life insurance. That's a hard sell, Pastor. I mean, I got to sell you something that you're going to pay for with hard-earned money, and you ain't even going to get nothing out of it. Well, that's life insurance. It's not for the one who dies. It's for those who are living. those who are left behind. That's what life insurance does. But is that the most important thing you ought to do? Is buy? I'm not downing life insurance. I used to sell it. But, brother, that's far inferior to the, you need to have not life insurance, you need to have life assurance. I worked with a guy one time. He had a gospel tract, and we sold insurance, but he had a gospel tract that said the King's, not life insurance policy, but the King's life assurance policy. Boy, that's a great tract to pass out. What about final expenses? Sometimes people are like, well, we need to make some prearranged burial plans and all that. And I'm not against any of that stuff. But is that how you really need to prepare for death? How do you really need to prepare for death? You need to get saved. You need to receive Christ. Well, that's the greatest way in the world to prepare for that enemy that's coming, death. Now, when will it happen? Nobody knows except the Lord. I mean, we don't know when we're going to die. So, therefore, when should a person get saved? Since you don't know when you're going to die, when should you get saved? Right now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, we're not promised another day. We're not promised another hour. We're not promised another minute. Death could happen any moment. And each day that we live brings us one step or one day closer to death. For some of you, it's perhaps just right around the corner. We don't know who's going to be the next one out of this congregation of people today that's going to face death. For others, it may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years away, but we know it's coming. Amos 4:12, what a message. Simply says, prepare to meet thy God. Lost person, if you're not saved today, don't put salvation off any longer. You need to get saved here today. Now, there is an exception to death. I must bring this out, the rapture. And it's only for the saved. You must be saved to experience the rapture. It's a glorious mystery Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15:51. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I think about my mom and daddy when I talk about the rapture, because they're getting on up in age, but Brother Ben, they still are looking for that blessed hope. They talk about the Lord coming back, and they hope they live to see the Lord come. I heard one preacher say, well, I don't want to go up in the rapture. I want to experience, I want to die so I can experience both the resurrection and the rapture. Well, I'll just take the rapture. I don't think it's even natural for a man to want to die. And so, if you're saved, that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So that is an exception to death for those who are saved. Now, do we need to worry about those who have already died in Christ that knew the Lord? No, not according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You got a loved one that's already passed on, gone to glory. One of these days when the rapture takes place, God is going to reunite their spirit and soul with that body. He's going to raise them out of that grave, and we're going to meet them in the clouds. Those that are alive and remain, the Bible says, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I got news for you. I got good news for you. If you're saved already, we're a winner either way. If we go or if we stay, we are a winner either way. There's a man wrote a song about that one time. And I'm not going to try to sing it because I might mess it up. But anyway, the song goes, I'm a winner either way. If you know the Lord, if you go on to glory by the way of death, you're a winner. If you're alive and remain at the rapture, you're a winner either way. Now, we learned some lessons about death from these two men. Both of them died, both a poor man named Lazarus and the rich man who is unnamed. Let's talk about some lessons from this poor man, Lazarus. Did you notice that Jesus named him or gave us his name? I think that's significant. The saved, the Bible says that our names, when we're saved, they are written forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, if you're saved, brother, your name, not just your soul and spirit and your body, but your name is going to live on and on and on. Jesus is going to know you by name. Revelation 21, 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're saved today, your name has been written in that blessed book, the Lamb's Book of Life. One day we'll meet this man who Jesus called Lazarus. He was called Lazarus down here as a poor beggar. Guess what? He's going to be known forever in eternity in heaven, worshiping the Lord. We're going to say, hey, there's Lazarus over there. We read about him in the Bible. That poor beggar is over there. By the way, is your name written in heaven today? It can be written in heaven. If you receive the Lord Jesus by faith, repent of sin, come to the Lord, your name will be written in heaven. Your name will live on forever when you know Jesus. You know, Lazarus, this poor man, he had a biography that would not have been very impressive as far as this world's concerned. He was not successful as far as our world measures success. In fact, Lazarus lived in abject poverty. He was homeless down here. He was covered with some type of boils or ulcers all over his body. And no doubt he experienced hunger every single day of his life. And the only comfort that we know that came to Lazarus was some dogs that came and licked his sores. That was his health plan. That was his health insurance. The dogs were the only comfort that he had, as far as we know. And you know, Lazarus not only lived that way, but he died the same way in abject poverty. He probably died of, partially at least, from malnutrition. And no doubt his health condition also hastened his death. But you know, a great change took place immediately after his death. The Bible says a personal envoy of angels came from heaven and ushered him home. Can you imagine? Where is Lazarus today? He is now receiving comfort. He is totally safe in Abraham's bosom. When the Bible talks about Abraham's bosom, it's simply talking about heaven. And Lazarus experienced down here so much pain, so much sorrow, so much heartache down here. But oh, think, my friend, about what was waiting for him in paradise. Now, this complete turn of tables came from the Lord. You think about Lazarus. He had been poor all of his life. Is he poor anymore? No. Because he had suffered most of his life. Is he suffering anymore? Why is Lazarus in heaven? Think with me. Why did Lazarus go to heaven? Because he was poor? No. Did Lazarus go to heaven because he suffered so much down here on this earth? No, he didn't go to heaven because of those reasons. Lazarus went to heaven because at some point in his life he had repented of sin and trusted in the Lord, his Savior. He had been born twice. He was born at the physical birth when his mother gave birth to him, and then he was born twice when he was born again of the Spirit. But you know, even though he was born twice, that made it be he only had to die once. Isn't that wonderful? If you're born twice, that is, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you only have to die once. That is, if you die before the Lord comes back, if he comes back, you just go up in the rapture. That's lessons we can learn from this poor man, Lazarus. Now let's learn some lessons from this unnamed rich man. Jesus didn't even bother to give us the man's name. You ever thought about that? The rich man's name, guess what? Will perish in eternity. You know, what names are important today in our world? I mean, who's who of America? You know, you try to, people are trying to get into that book, and perhaps they're trying to get into Bloomberg's Billionaires Index, Forbes Billionaires 2022. All those things are going to be non-existent in eternity, and they will have absolutely no consequence in eternity. Not that rich, influential people, famous people can't go to heaven. Yes, they can go to heaven. Just as well as a poor person can get saved and go to heaven. Rich people can get saved too. But how's a rich person ever going to get to heaven? Same way as a poor person, by only through the blood of Jesus. Then and only then will their names matter in eternity. Why will the rich man's name not last? Simple. He never got saved. All the names of those who fail to receive God's gift of eternal life will be forgotten forever. All these billionaires and millionaires and potentates of this world, if they don't get saved, oh, we hear their names a lot down here, but their names are going to perish if they don't get saved. Just like this rich man's name was never mentioned by our Lord. He never got saved. All the names of those who fail to receive God's gift of eternal life. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. Hold your place there in Luke. But look at Revelation chapter 20. Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." You ever thought about those people buried at sea? They're going to be resurrected one day. Amen. "And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. I told you, if you're born twice, you only die once. Well, this is talking about a second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," here it is, "was cast into the lake of fire." Has your name been written in the book of life? Are you saved? If you're not, you need to get saved. I can't impress upon you enough the need for knowing Jesus. Jesus told his disciples how important it was at one point to have their names written in the book of life. In fact, Jesus told his disciples that having your name written in heaven was more important than having power to tread on serpents and to have power to tread on scorpions. It was more important than having power to overrule Satan. What was more powerful, Jesus told the disciples, than all of those things? Well, Luke 10:20, he says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And the disciples did some many mighty and marvelous works through the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said the most important thing is to have your name written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? By the way, you can't buy your way to heaven. This is a good example. His riches didn't buy him a place in heaven. His riches, his wealth, did not impress God. We talked about Lazarus' biography. Let's talk about this man's biography. It was no better than Lazarus. When you can't condense it down, take all the fluff out of it. Wealthy people are just like the poor people. They are born, they live, and they die. Don't matter how poor you are, how rich you are, we're all going to live and we're going to die. Riches gained him absolutely nothing in eternity. Like the rich young ruler, you remember Jesus who had a confrontation with this rich young ruler? He had everything here, but he ended up with nothing except eternal torment in the fires of hell. He walked away from eternal life when he walked away from Jesus. Jesus offered him eternal life. He turned around and walked away from him. His wealth, let me say something else about this rich man. His wealth, even though it didn't impress God, his wealth did not keep him from going to heaven. You can be rich and go to heaven. So his riches didn't keep him out of heaven. What kept this rich man out of heaven? His unbelief and rejection of the gospel is what sent him to hell. His riches didn't send him to hell. His unbelief. His refusal to receive Jesus is what sent him to hell. But as many as received him, the Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, whether you're poor or rich, even to them that believe on his name. So this rich man's wealth didn't keep him from going to heaven. His unbelief kept him from going to heaven. How do we know that rich people can go to heaven? Abraham was rich. He went to heaven. Why? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Solomon was very rich. Boaz, the great kinsman redeemer of the book of Ruth, and many other saints in the Bible were wealthy men. That didn't keep them from going to heaven. They went to heaven because they believed on the Lord. Trusted him. The problem with this rich man was not that he had money, it was that the money had him. Money was his God. Talked about God, a good Sunday school lesson this morning. Well, this rich man's God was his money. And his interest in spiritual things came only after he died, and only after he lifted up his eyes in hell fire. But it'll be too late to be interested in spiritual things then. I will say this about wealth, though. His wealth did most likely hinder him from coming to the knowledge of the truth. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says it. Mark 10:25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? They trust their riches. They fare sumptuously every day. But there's coming a day when they won't have those riches. Luke 12:19-20 talked about the man who rich man. He said, I've got so much fruits, I've got so much grain. What must I do? He says, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns to take care of all my wealth. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Two things always impress the heart of God, I find in the Scriptures, neither of which were true of this rich man. He never repented. You know, repentance always touches the heart of God. If you want to touch the heart of God, repent. It always, I mean, somehow or another, it just always, and what's the other thing? Faith. Faith always touches the heart of God. You know, I think about Jonah. how God sent him to Nineveh, and he tried to not go, and you know, God got him there anyhow, roundabout way, but he got there. He didn't even want those people to get saved, Pastor. He didn't even want to preach to them the Word of God, but he did anyhow. And why did he not want those people to get saved? Because those Ninevites, they had been treacherous to the nation of Israel and been so vicious to his people, but God still loved those people. God said, Jonah, you go down there and preach 40 days. Judgment's coming. So he preached. You know what? The Bible says from the king all the way down to the lowest servant, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God spared them. Don't tell me repentance don't touch the heart of God. It always does. Jesus loved that rich young ruler that we talked about a while ago. Jesus wanted to save that rich young ruler, but he turned away from Jesus to serve his God. Covetousness was his God. By the way, you don't have to be rich to be covetous. You can be just as covetous and be poor. So we see lessons about death. We see lessons from the poor man Lazarus. We see many lessons from this unnamed rich man. Let's talk about finally the lessons about eternity we see in our text today. First of all, lessons about the saved. Look at verse number 22 of Luke chapter 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was bound for glory. It was just a matter of walking through that valley, that lonesome valley. But I tell you what, it's not so lonesome if you got Jesus with you. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Do you really have Jesus? My grandmother died. Evie was her name. Evie White, my mother's mother. And she was in a nursing home when she died. 90 years old. Alzheimer's for the last 5 years of her life. It was pitiful to watch. And when she died in a room. There was another bed that was vacant in that nursing home room. But they said when Mama died, nobody was there. Not a doctor, not a nurse, not another patient in the room. And my Aunt Frances had just left to go home to get a bite to eat. My uncle was on his way to the nursing home to spend the rest of the afternoon. But between that period of time, and nobody was really expecting Mama to die that day. But she went on to glory. In a room, all by herself. But no, she wasn't all by herself. She had Jesus. You may get into a nursing home one of these days or find yourself there all by yourself. You may end up dying all by yourself with nobody holding your hand. But you know, you could have a room full of doctors. You could have a room full of nurses holding your hand. Room full of relatives and family and friends. There could be 100 people in that room. Is that going to help you go to heaven? Brother, they can't do a thing for you. You got to have Jesus in your heart. He's the one that you need when the hour of death comes your way. He's the only one who can help you in that hour. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. You've got Jesus. All Lazarus had to do was close his eyes in death, and he awoke in heaven. Isn't that glorious? He closed his eyes in death and awake in heaven. Although he was a beggar down here, he was just as guaranteed of heaven as if he were already there. The Bible says he was ushered into heaven by angels. He had a heavenly delegation who ushered him in. Paul said to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. Just like that. Once that heart stopped beating, brother, if you're saved, you'll be with the Lord. Lessons from the saved we're talking about. 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Isn't that pretty plain? If you got Jesus, you got eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, You have eternal death, eternal damnation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Lazarus, while I'm speaking right now, he's enjoying everlasting comfort and bliss with the Lord. We see that in verse 25. Look at it. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things. Notice, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, thank God, for the former things are passed away. That's what we can learn from Lazarus, this poor beggar. But what about the lost? Can we learn some lessons from this rich man? Notice verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. As soon as he closed his eyes in death, the very next thing he did was lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know what that tells me? That tells me that as soon as the rich man lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham and Lazarus. In other words, he had vision still. He had vision to see. He could see paradise. He could see Abraham. He could see Lazarus. But you know what? He was in torment. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He was burning. He was burning. This was not annihilation. Hell is not annihilation. This is eternal torment. He was burning in the fire. Not only that, he had unquenchable thirst. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. I am tormented in this flame. He had an unquenchable thirst. And he was tormented in the fire. Not only that, the rich man still had his memory. You'll remember if you go to hell. What will you remember? Well, let's see. Verse number 25, it says, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. He had his memory still. And I believe he could remember all the good things he enjoyed while on this earth. But the thing is, those good things would be gone forever. And also, he would forever remember how he treated Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores. The Bible says he just was desiring the crumbs, I guess you might just say the slop that came, the leftovers, the scraps that they were going to throw away, and Lazarus might get a scrap or two of what the rich man was going to throw out to the hog or just out to the trash pile. That's what Lazarus was living off of. You know, that rich man, he saw Lazarus, no doubt, every day laid at his gate. He probably was hoping he'd just die just so he wouldn't be out there anymore. You know, I don't know, but anyway, he could have easily done something kind for Lazarus. Brother, he probably had a whole pile of T-bone steaks back there in the back somewhere. He could invited Lazarus over for a meal and fed him a steak. He could have easily done that for he was a man of wealth. He was a man of means. He could have easily helped this poor man Lazarus. So far as we know, he never gave him anything but scraps. Crumb. But forever in eternity, he would remember Lazarus. He would remember that beggar, what he could have and should have done for him. You know, the rich man's request, He did make some requests even in hell, but they were all in vain. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy. He wanted mercy. Now, but it was too late. He wanted water. He couldn't have it. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Not saved. Don't you want mercy now? Don't you want to experience the grace of God now while it's available? He thought Lazarus could help, but you know what? Lazarus, even if he wanted to help, he couldn't come to where the rich man was. There was a great gulf fixed, the Bible says. So that they which would pass from heaven to you, Abraham said, they cannot pass, and neither can anybody come from where you are to here. The great gulf fixed. You know, not only that, but this rich man wanted somebody to go back to his house and witness to his five brothers about salvation so that they might not come to this terrible place. Perhaps Lazarus could be sent from heaven as a missionary. But you know what Abraham said? He said, they have Moses. They have the prophets. Let your brothers hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if someone rose from the dead, like if you just let Lazarus come back and rise from the dead and let him go be a witness, they'll believe. What did Abraham say? He said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if someone rose from the dead. By the way, someone has risen from the dead. What have you done about it? The Lord Jesus has already risen from the dead. Have you believed on Him? Have you trusted Him? Abraham said they wouldn't even believe in the Lord even if Lazarus came back from the dead. Thank God we have a Savior who has risen and conquered death, hell, and the grave. He did that all for you. He did that all for me. After His resurrection, the Bible says Jesus ministered here on this earth for another 40 more days and then ascended back to the Father. That's where He is right now, making intercession for us, the Bible says. Acts 1:10 says, and while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him going to heaven. Jesus is coming soon. Why do you need to get saved today? Because you don't know when death's going to come. And you also don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Two very, very important reasons why you need to get saved. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Isaac, would you come play a hymn for us? You can start playing even while I pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You, Lord, for this hour. Thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we know that Jesus preached more on hell than He did about heaven. In fact, Jesus preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible. That's why we know it's so important. Because our Lord warned us of this terrible place. And Lord, I pray that if there's one soul, maybe there's others, maybe more than one, that don't know Jesus. They've never had their sins forgiven. They've never had their sins put under the blood of the Son of God. Help them to come to Jesus, receive Him today by faith. Lord, for Christians who's been indifferent, maybe quit praying for that lost soul that's bound for hell if they don't get saved. Help them, Lord, to get concerned. Help them get burdened. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul to Thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet with your head bowed, your eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart about this matter of hell and heaven and